Good morning, brothers and sisters. I hope you and your loved ones are all keeping well during this coronavirus crisis. Today we are continuing in our series of sermons on the Apostle Paul's letters to the Christians in Thessalonica, who are undergoing terrible persecution for their faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 17, you can read how Paul established the church in Thessalonica during his second missionary journey in 49 AD. Paul could only stay in Thessalonica for 3 weeks before violent persecution from the Jewish community broke out against the Christians, and he was forced to leave Thessalonica. Unlike the first century Christians in Thessalonica, we may not be facing imprisonment, beatings, or persecution for our faith, but I'm sure that you will all agree that we are all facing difficult, uncertain, and troubling times. Coronavirus has caused major upheavals in the United Kingdom and in countries throughout the world. A tiny, invisible virus threatens our health and the health of our loved ones. The United Kingdom is in lockdown. We have all had to make big and difficult changes in our lives. Some of our loved ones with health conditions are in social isolation, avoiding physical contact with us, their family and friends. Hundreds of thousands of people working in the travel industry, one retail, leisure, and restaurant businesses have suddenly lost their jobs as their stores and businesses have had to close due to government restrictions on travel and business to limit the spread of COVID-19. Perhaps you are one of the many people suddenly facing unemployment or the collapse of your business and financial uncertainty. Many people in other businesses now have to work from home or in different ways. Supermarkets are working together to share their warehouses and lorries. Gin and beer manufacturers are now making alcohol hand sanitizers. Vauxhall car makers and Airbus aerospace engineers are desperately making parts for medical ventilators. Dyson has switched from making vacuum cleaners to making medical ventilators. Clothes firms are now making masks and personal protective equipment for healthcare workers. University students are having lectures and teaching online and face great uncertainties regarding their studies and research. Children's education has also been disrupted as schools have closed and exams cancelled. Churches like ours have closed. Parliament has closed. Supermarkets are rationing toilet rolls and groceries. Conference centres are being turned into makeshift field hospitals. Doctors and nurses are facing death and suffering on a scale we have never witnessed before in the 70-year history of the NHS, as we struggle to deal with a pandemic that is worsening and that will continue for several more weeks. In a few short weeks in March, the world we were used to and our lives and what we knew changed dramatically. And what is worse is that no one knows when life will return to normal. No one knows how many people will die in this pandemic, or on a personal level, whether we or our loved ones will survive this pandemic. However famous or rich or powerful you are, or how important you are, whether you are the Prime Minister or Prince Charles or a Hollywood superstar like Tom Hanks, you can be infected by coronavirus. Paul's message in 2 Thessalonians 2 to the Christians in Thessalonica undergoing terrible persecution is also relevant and applicable to us in our present dark circumstances. Paul's message is, don't be shaken by threatening circumstances. Look at our passage, 2 Thessalonians 2. In verses 13 to 15, Paul says, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. In other words, what Paul is saying is that God loves you more than you can imagine. He has demonstrated his tremendous love for you by choosing you to be his adopted child. He called you into his family and saved you from hell by sending Jesus to take the punishment for our sins. He went to hell so that we don't have to. God even gives us his Holy Spirit to help us in our times of need, to give us peace and courage to stand firm in these turbulent and threatening times. That is the truth, the good news, the gospel which we believe, which we know to be true. Jesus testified to God's love for humankind when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." In John 15, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." So how are things between you and Christ? Are you God's friend, or are you acting more like his enemy? The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isaiah 41, verse 11, God said, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And in Joshua 1, verse 9, God said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So today, we have a choice to make. We can either look at the difficult and threatening circumstances we face and give in to anxiety, fear, and despair, or we turn to Jesus Christ, our God who made us and everything in this universe. That is a decision every one of us has to make when we get up each morning. For those of us in the healthcare professions who are regularly exposed to patients that are probably infected with coronavirus, every day we or our loved ones wake up in good health is a blessing from God. As our patients die of coronavirus, and one by one, my colleagues fall sick with suspected coronavirus infection, some seriously, COVID-19 has made me realize that the matters that used to concern me greatly are really insignificant when I consider the prospect that I or those I love could be seriously ill or be dead in a few weeks. Remember that whatever happens in this world, that God chose you. He called you to be a part of his family. He saved you at great expense for a reason, to change you into his likeness, to develop a Christ-like character in you. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. "He called you to this through the gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Please use this time you have at home to consider this. Our future is secure in Christ. One day we will all die, and we will face God's judgment for how we spent our time on earth. But we will spend eternity in heaven with Christ because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Our future is secure in Christ. That is a great comfort to me, and I hope that it is a great comfort to you in these turbulent and ever-changing times. In Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Paul Williams tells the story of a man who was a member of the Muslim terrorist group Hamas, who converted to Christianity. This brother in Christ received a letter from his former friends who promised that they would never stop looking for him, and when they found him, they would kill him for renouncing Islam. When asked how he felt about this permanent death threat hanging over him, our dear brother replied, "Jesus Christ has given me a peace that Islam can never give me. I have peace, knowing that even if they murder me, I will go to be with Christ forever, and no one can take that away from me." Paul Williams went on to say that what keeps that Christian brother going is the wonderful guarantee of Christ's return to gather his people to be with him forever. This promise is also what kept the Christians in Thessalonica going when faced with terrible persecution because of their faith. However, it seems that the Christians in Thessalonica were shaken by fake news, by teaching and a letter purported to be from Paul, stating that Jesus had already come back to earth again. This was a direct contradiction of what Paul had written to them in his first letter to them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 17, the Apostle Paul had told them, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." No wonder the Thessalonian Christians were confused. Unlike us who have the Bible, the Christians in Thessalonica did not have access to the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and Mark. They were not able to look up Jesus' teachings for themselves. Jesus clearly stated in Matthew chapters 24 and 26 and in Mark chapter 14 that when he returns to earth again, all the peoples of the earth will see him coming on the clouds, appearing with great power and great glory. So Paul writes a second letter to the Christians in Thessalonica to reassure them that when Christ comes again, it will be the end of all evil and rebellion against God. When Jesus returns on the clouds with great power and great glory, it will be a cosmic, cataclysmic event that everyone will see. It will literally be the end of the world. That was the message of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul tells the Thessalonian Christians of a sign which precedes the end of history when Jesus comes again. This sign is that a great rebellion against God and God's law will occur when a man of lawlessness, described by the Apostle John as the Antichrist, will appear. He will proclaim himself to be God, oppose God's law, and suppress God's people, and deceive many people by performing powerful supernatural signs. People will believe the devil's lies, refuse to believe the truth about Jesus, and will make sinfulness their pleasure. Paul does not tell us when this will occur or who the Antichrist may be. So I believe that God does not want us to know and does not want us to waste our time in idle speculation about the Antichrist or about the end of the world. What then should we take from the first 12 verses of 2 Thessalonians 2? Firstly, I believe we need to acknowledge that whatever is happening in our world is not just a series of random events, but is under the control of our Almighty God. He has a meaning and a purpose in everything that happens to you and in this world. Just because our small, fallible human minds cannot comprehend why God does what he does not mean that God is not in control of all our lives and circumstances. Secondly, however painful our suffering or difficult and unpleasant our lives may become, Hold to the truth of God's word, the Bible. Do not believe Satan's lie that God does not have the blessed plans for you. Do not be deceived by the devil as Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden. God does have great plans for you. He chose you, he called you, and he saved you at great personal cost. He loves you more than you can comprehend. Trust in Jesus who died and went to hell for you. Sometimes I can only hear God above the din of my busy life when he shouts to me through painful or difficult circumstances beyond my control. Romans 8, verses 28 to 29. Paul wrote, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." We all need to change to become more Christ-like in our character and mindset. Sometimes we get so used to the sin in our lives that we become comfortable with what is offensive to God and no longer take our sin seriously. Sometimes it takes a crisis in our lives like coronavirus for God to show us how bad, how self-centered, how lacking in love we really are, and how little we trust God's goodness and power to supply our needs. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Do you know your Bible? Do you know and understand Jesus' teaching? And are you applying it to your life? Please use the time you now have to deepen your knowledge and understanding of Christ by reading and studying his word. If you don't, then you risk being shaken by false teaching and fake news of the Thessalonian Christians. Let us endeavor to become stable people whose conviction in the love and goodness of God are not easily shaken when we face difficult circumstances and painful changes in our lives. A Christ-like character is a person who is not easily led astray, but one whose life is centered on God, who believes and trusts in God's truth and walks in his ways. We have seen in recent weeks stories from supermarkets of selfishness, covetousness, and greed, with people hoarding food and fighting over toilet rolls, while some of the weakest in society have been left empty-handed. We should not be surprised, as Paul warns us in this letter, that the devil's power of lawlessness is in our world. But Satan is no match for our Lord Jesus. So let us pray for God's power and perseverance. The storm around us will be continuing for some time. Things are going to get worse before they get better. Let us stand firm and hold fast to the truth of Jesus' teaching and the word of God, his Bible. As the family of God, we need each other. The church is not just a place for Christian teaching, but a fellowship of Christians, a community to support each other through these dark times. Let us show love, encouragement, and support to each other to live righteous lives before God. This crisis has made me realize what a weak and stupid sheep I am. Instead of focusing on Jesus, my good shepherd, I have been fearful, emotionally up and down. At times during the last few weeks, the weight of my responsibilities threatened to crush me, and the future looked bleak for me and for those I love. So how can we stand firm during this unprecedented time of crisis, which will go on for a number of months? Turn your eyes away from our present circumstances and turn to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, God loves you. He died for you. Have faith in the love and power of God. We have nothing to be afraid of. Helen Lemel wrote the hymn Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus in 1918 when the First World War was raging, and the same year that the Spanish flu pandemic started, which killed over 50 million people. Helen Lemel had become ill with a condition that had resulted in her going blind. As a result of her life-changing illness, her husband had left her. The words of her hymn are as follows. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour, and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, O his grace. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Let us pray. O Lord, just pray that you will use the words that you have given to me to bless our brothers and sisters, bless us through these difficult times. O Lord, thank you for all you've done for us through Christ. O Lord, forgive us for not trusting in you. O Lord, you have a plan and purpose behind this crisis. And I pray that you would use this to glorify your name. Lord, thank you. Let me end with a blessing to you from 2 Thessalonians 2. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.